Today, Blinken is in China with a warning over Beijing's relations with Russia. The Supreme Court considers Trump's total immunity claim. Haiti braces for a political transition as gang violence threatens to deepen a humanitarian crisis. And how some Russians are using VPNs to access banned Western content. It's Thursday, April 25th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Tara Oakes in Liverpool.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Apparently, there's according to my colleagues, there's a little jazz bar in the hotel we're staying. Somehow, I missed it.
A smiling Antony Blinken with Chinese officials in Shanghai. But his visit is set to be a tense affair as he warns China about its support of Russia.
We have an obligation for our people and indeed an obligation for the world to manage the relationship between our two countries responsibly.
On Thursday, he held talks with Shanghai Communist Party Secretary Chen Jining. On Friday, the focus turns to key talks in Beijing. There, Blinken will press China to stop its firms from retooling and resupplying Russia's defense industry.
My message to the students inside the encampment is go back to class and stop the nonsense.
House Speaker Mike Johnson at Columbia University. He was heckled and booed during his visit. The Manhattan campus is the flashpoint for nationwide college protests over Israel's war in Gaza. And protests have spread from the East Coast out west to the University of Southern California and down south to the University of Texas, Austin. Meanwhile, in the Gaza Strip itself, the north has been pounded by Israeli warplanes. After an abrupt Israeli pullback at the start of April, Israel says it is, quote, moving ahead with its plans for a ground assault on Rafah. Supreme Court justices appear divided in a case that pits Idaho's strict Republican-backed abortion ban against a federal law guaranteeing patients can receive emergency care. Joe Biden's administration sued Idaho over its abortion law and has urged the justices to uphold a lower court ruling that overturned it. In Arizona, lawmakers have voted to repeal a 160-year-old law banning abortion, which is seen as a major victory for Democrats there. Dueling courtroom dramas on the docket today, as Donald Trump returns to Manhattan for his criminal trial, over in Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court will hear a case that poses a fundamental question about American democracy. Are presidents immune from prosecution for actions taken while in office? Donald Trump has appealed a lower court's rejection of his request to be shielded from the election interference case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. A ruling is expected before June. Legal reporter Andrew Goodsward is in Washington, D.C. Andrew, what's Trump's argument here?
So in Trump's case, he's charged with a multi-part conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 election. And his lawyers argue that things like talking to officials in his Justice Department and state lawmakers, urging them to investigate allegations of voter fraud, that those are things that he took as part of his official actions as president. The special counsel says essentially that this argument would put Trump above the law, that basically there's no tradition of presidents being immune from criminal prosecution. Every president before Trump understood that if they committed crimes while in office, they could be prosecuted after they left the White House.
Is there any chance the court could actually buy this broad immunity claim? And what would it mean if they did?
So most legal experts think that it's pretty far-fetched that the Supreme Court will decide that Trump and all former presidents are completely immune from criminal prosecution for official actions. But it's certainly possible that the Supreme Court recognizes that maybe in some circumstances, a president might have some legal protection. For instance, if they made a decision as during a time of war or something like that. And so legal experts tend to think that a more likely outcome that might still be favorable to Trump is the Supreme Court finds presidents have some immunity, but it's not complete. And then they send the case back down to the trial judge to determine if any of the allegations in this indictment against Trump might be covered by that immunity.
Gunshots near Haiti's National Palace in Port-au-Prince, on the eve of a ceremony to install the Presidential Transition Council. Thursday's event takes place on the outskirts of the city, but the violence near the palace underlines a crisis in Haiti. Widespread gang violence has seen hundreds of thousands internally displaced and millions pushed into acute hunger while key ports remain closed. Reporter Harold Isaac is in Port-au-Prince. Harold, what's the situation like there right now?
We've been in this acute cycle of crisis since February 29th. We were promised beginning of March that there would be a government within 48 hours, and it's been over 6 weeks. The international airport of Port-au-Prince remains closed, although an American military airplane landed, bringing in supplies and personnel. But for the most part, Port-au-Prince remains cut off from the world, and that is affecting everything. And the gangs have stormed the Varoux oil terminal again to try and block the flow of oil into the country. So the port closures, as it stands, is aggravating the situation for about half of the population, which is already facing famine-like conditions. And it's not going to get any better if nothing is done fairly soon.
And prominent gang leader Jimmy Barbecue Chachizier says they have to be involved in any talks over Haiti's political future. What does he want?
Well, that's a question everybody's asking. He is the spokesperson of all the bandits of sorts, you know, all the armed groups, as they call themselves. What they claim to be doing is to ask for a dialogue between all the actors. But, you know, their weapons seems to be saying otherwise. So at this stage right now, they're not obtaining what they aim for, which was, yes, to get rid of Ariel Henry, but perhaps to have a Supreme Court judge in lieu of a transitional government, or to have the former rebel Guy Philippe to be leading a transitional government.
A world away from Haiti, over in Silicon Valley, and Meta is spooking investors. Carmel Crimmins has more.
Shares of Facebook's parent dropped around 15% in after-hours trading, after Meta forecast weaker-than-expected sales and, crucially, higher spending on AI. That spooked Wall Street. Investors are worried they've underestimated the cost of the AI race. So shares of Alphabet and Microsoft have dropped ahead of their earnings later today.
Meta's apps, along with other foreign social media platforms and opposition news sites, are banned in Russia. Moscow says it's to safeguard against creeping Western influence. But a growing ecosystem of programmers are trying to build workarounds to this censorship. It's done by developing virtual private networks, or VPNs. Lucy Papachristou has the story. Lucy, what is the Russian government doing to tackle this trend?
So Roskomnadzor, which is the Russian internet regulator, has been clamping down much harder since the start of the war in Ukraine in February 2020, because we saw at that time a huge surge in interest in accessing independent information about what was going on in Ukraine among Russians who really en masse downloaded VPNs. And just recently, they've banned the advertising of VPNs online, specifically VPNs that are advertised in order to circumvent government blocks. So there's now a fine that web pages can incur if they post advertisements for VPNs.
Tell us about Anthony Rakovsky, who's fighting back.
So Anthony Rakovsky is a very young but very passionate programmer. So what he's done was a VPN designed to help users of the VPNs toggle between different what are called protocols. So in the event that one of these protocols is blocked by the Russian internet regulator, Anthony's tool basically toggles the users to a different protocol that isn't blocked and can sort of toggle them back and forth, thereby keeping them online, even if the Russian government is interfering or trying to block the VPN.
Could the Russian government really ban VPNs?
Saying you want to ban VPNs and actually being able to ban VPNs is a very different matter. Basically, it risks harming other functionalities of the internet. So if you're trying to aggressively attack and shut down certain sections of the internet, you risk also potentially shutting down really important functionalities of the internet that people use every day, like online banking and tax services.
That's it for your Thursday episode. We'll be back tomorrow with the latest from around the world. But before we go, we have a quick favour to ask. We want your feedback. We'd love it if you could fill out a quick 5-minute survey. There's a link in the description. To make sure you never miss any of our episodes, click subscribe on your favourite podcast player.